Okay, so welcome back, and we are learning Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud. Last week we did the first eight Pesukim, so we're up to Pasuk Tes. We'll see if we can finish the Perek tonight. I know it's kind of like, I guess, bottom heavy, the way we're doing it, but we'll see if we can finish the Perek. The first eight Pesukim, if you remember, just to review very briefly outside, so the first eight Pesukim deal with Shmuel anointing Shaul as king, right? That's Pasuk Aleph. Shmuel anoints Shaul as the new king, calls him a Nagid. He gives him a kiss. We discussed that last week, the significance of this kiss. And then Shmuel proceeds to give Shaul three different signs that this is going to come true. He gives him these three different signs. And when these signs come true, Shmuel says to Shaul, then you'll know that that everything I'm telling you about the Malchus is also true. So we learned about the three signs last week, and we learned about some of the symbolism behind the three signs. And now we are up to Perek Tes. Perek Tes. So the three signs happen, right? The three signs have all happened. Well, the truth is, the third sign actually is going to happen. Last week we did Pasuk Ches. I think we're up to Pasuk Ches. I think we're up to Pasuk Ches. Okay, so let's let's see Pasuk Ches. So Pasuk Zion, Shmuel just tells Shaul that when these signs happen, so then you'll know that Hashem is with you. You'll know that this is coming true. You're going to be the king. And you can do whatever you want because Hashem is with you. Pasuk Ches. V'yoradata lefanai ha-Gilgal. So Shmuel says to Shaul that you will go down before me to Gilgal. Gilgal, we know, was a place. That's one of the first places that the Jewish people came to when they came into Eretz Yisrael. V'hine anochi yored elecha. Shmuel says to Shaul, I'm going to come down to meet you there. Lahalos olos lizbach zivchei shlamim. And we're going to bring karbanos, olos, shlamim, shivas yomim tochel, ad bo'i elecha. You should wait for me for 7 days until I come to you. V'hodati lecha eis asher ta'aseh. And then I'll tell you what you should do. There's a machlokes in the Mefarshim here. What's this 7 day waiting period? So Rashi seems to understand that after Shaul is going to become king, he's got to go down to Gilgal. Then he has to wait 7 days, and then Shmuel is going to come down and meet him. Which sounds like the pashup shot in the psukim. The Radak understands that the 7 days are after Shmuel leaves. The Radak says, no, if you read the pasuk, it sounds like first Yorad telefonai Gilgal, right? Vina anochi yoredi lecha. So says the Radak, no, first Shmuel is going to come meet him, and then after that, then Shivas Yamim Tochel, and then he's going to wait 7 days. So it's a question exactly, you know, when are these 7 days? Is it before Shmuel gets there? Is it after Shmuel gets there? But either way, it's not clear exactly why he's telling him to wait 7 days. I don't know exactly. Mefarshim don't really talk about it, as far as I saw. But it turns out, says the Radak, that Shaul actually never leaves Gilgal. That once he gets to Gilgal, now again, he's not there yet. This is Shmuel talking to him about where he should go. Once he gets to Gilgal, so Shaul stays there until the war with the Plishtim. Okay, we'll learn about that. The Radak asks, you know, why is Shmuel telling Shaul this now? Why not just tell Shaul, go to Gilgal, I'll meet you there, and then once he's there, let him say, you know, then wait the 7 days. Why is he telling him about the 7 day waiting period? Again, according to the Radak, the 7 day waiting period is after Shmuel leaves Gilgal. Shmuel's going to come down to Gilgal, meet Shaul there, bring karbanos, and then Shaul's going to wait 7 days after Shmuel leaves.
And even more so, why does the pasuk have to say, "Radati lecha eis asher ta'aseh"? Obviously, he's going to tell him what to do.
Good. So,
why
so have to say that? Good. So we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. But so basically the Radak says that Shmuel is hinting that if you do this, He says, I'm telling you this now. Why am I telling you this now? Because now is when Shmuel is informing Shaul that he's going to become king. So as he informs Shaul that he's going to become king, Shmuel tells him these conditions about Gilgal, because he says, if you follow this, then your kingdom, which I'm telling you about tonight, will last. But if you don't follow this, your kingdom is not going to last. The kingdom that I'm informing you about is contingent upon you following my directives, you following the orders here. Now we're going to see that Shaul is not going to follow things exactly the way he's told, right? But that's why he's telling him this now, according to the Radak, even though really he could tell it to him later. When he gets to Gilgal, he could tell him, listen, let's bring Karbanos, and then I want you to wait 7 days, and then I'll tell you what to do. But he doesn't tell him that. He tells him now, in advance. Why? To show that the Malchus is contingent upon this. Now the Malbim discusses, what's this business at the end? What is that supposed to mean? So says the Malbim, that until now, Shmuel was telling Shaul, but why is he saying it? So the Malbim says, if you contrast this to the previous pasuk, you'll see. What did pasuk Zion say? That after the three signs happen, aselecha ashatim tzayadcha, do whatever you want, right? Follow your heart's desire, because Hashem is with you. Now comes the Malbim and says, but when it comes to Gilgal, no. Then it's v'hodati lecha is asher tase. You can't just do what you want in Gilgal. I'm going to tell you what to do. Right? We're going to bring Karbanos, and I'm going to tell you what to do about the Plishtim. Don't do anything without me. Don't do anything without me. So apparently, this is almost like Lehavdil, like checks and balances. Shmuel is telling Shaul, yeah, it's true that once you're the king and Hashem is with you, you kind of have free reign to do what you want. But when it comes to Gilgal, when it comes to Karbanos, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, remember I'm the Navi. Right, remember I'm the Navi. You can't just do what you want. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to tell you what to do regarding the Plishtim. I'm going to tell you what to do, and you have to follow that. Now again, Shaul is not going to listen to this exactly, but that's the orders according to the Malbim. Okay, Pasuk Tes. V'haya k'hafnoso shichmo l'leches me'im Shmuel. Okay, so Shmuel's done telling Shaul the orders. So as Shaul turns his back on Shmuel to walk away from Shmuel, vayehafach lo Elokim leiv acher. As he turns, the turning is physical, but the turning also is metaphysical. The turning also is spiritual, because as he turns, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a new heart. What does that mean? A new heart turns on a switch, almost, right? Vayavou kol haoso sa'ila bayamahu. Now, what does that mean? So says Rashi, this is referring to a gvura. The king needs a gvura. He needs a might in order to lead the people. Shaul didn't have that. That's something that you need as a king, and maybe you grow into that. As he turns away from Shmuel, boom, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him this gvura. He gets this extra sense of power and might that's necessary to lead the king. Metzudas David says we're talking about a great heart befitting a king. Says the Malbim, and this is so powerful. The Malbim says that a person's heart, an individual's heart, guides them. But the heart of a king guides the nation. An individual's heart guides them, says the Malbim, but the heart of a king guides the nation. Because how the king feels and what the king's doing, he's got the whole nation behind him. It's not just him. We act according to the way we see fit. So we feel one way, we're going to do one thing. We feel that differently, we're going to do something else. How many people does that affect? Us, our family, our friends, our co-workers, a relatively small circle of influence. But a king, depending on how he feels, what he's going to do, how he's going to act, that can affect the whole nation. That can affect the whole nation, right? So the heart of a king guides a nation. So that's what, says the Malbim, that's what this means. Vayehafech lo Elokim leiv acher, that as he was talking to Shmuel, he had an individual's heart. He didn't have a king heart. He didn't have a kingly heart where he could guide the nation. All of a sudden, he turns, right? He turns following this exchange. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him a new heart, the heart of a king. right? The heart that can guide the nation.
You don't see that anywhere else. This type of, you know, language about the
Lord. I don't know. It's fascinating. Yeah. It's fascinating. So he and the Malbim writes that the that the nation is to the king. The Malbim says, like the life forces within the person are to his heart. You know, that it keeps you going. You know, like the life forces keep the heart going. So the king is like the heart of the nation, so to speak. So it's unbelievable. Like you see, I mean, you see, like, you know, we're on Erev the election here. Erev the election, when everybody in the country is thinking about who's going to be the next leader. Mamish, Leiv Melachim Biyad Hashem. Right, as we say, Leiv Melachim Biyad Hashem. And this is true. Right, the heart of a leader can guide a whole nation. You know, the things that he does, the things that the leader says, whoever that leader is going to be tomorrow night, right? The things that the leader does and the leader says can affect an entire nation. Can affect an entire nation. So that's what happened to Shaul. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Pasuk Yud. Vayavo'u Sham Hagiv Asa. So he leaves Shmuel, and he goes to Giva. Now this is the third os, by the way. This is the third os that's happening. A group of Nevi'im comes to greet him. And all of a sudden, Shaul gets a godly spirit, a Ruach Elohim, envelops him, descends upon him, and he begins to vayisnabe, he begins to prophesy. He begins to have Nevuah. Now again, Shaul was not a Navi. He was not a known Navi to this point. All of a sudden, he's a new man. He's got this Lev Chadash, right? He's got this Lev Acher, I'm sorry. He's got a new heart. That now he's got the heart of a leader, whatever that means, whether it's the Gvura, whether it's the wisdom, whatever the case might be. And now all of a sudden, we see that he has this power of Nevuah. This is the third Os, says the Malbim. The Malbim understands that the Ruach Elohim that enveloped him refers to the physical gvura, the physical might that's necessary to lead the nation, and the vayisnabe, right? The nevuah that refers to the spiritual might. But a king has to have both. A king has to have physical might, physical gvura. That's the ruach elokim, and the vayisnabe. That's the spiritual might. That's the spiritual prowess that he has as well. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayikol Yodo, may itmol shilshom. And this is interesting. So the pasuk says that those who knew Shaul from the past, you know, his high school classmates, maybe, you know, the people that he grew up with playing ball, the people that knew him, vayiru vihine im nevim niba. So they look and they see that Shaul is now prophesying as with a group of nevim. Vayomer ha'am ishal re'ehu. So people turn to each other, they look at each other, and they say, "Maze ha'yilaven Kish? What happened to the son of Kish?" Right? Even back then, people talked. Right? What happened to the son of Kish? Hagam Shaul ba'Nevi'im? Is Shaul also from the Nevi'im now? Right? Is Shaul also from the Nevi'im? So the Metzudas David says, you know, the Mefarshim here focus on the fact that why are we focusing on the son of Kish? Right? Ma zehaya leven Kish. How come they know his name is Shaul? How come they're not calling him Shaul? Why are they calling him Ben Kish? So the Metzudas David says that, you know, where is this Nevuah coming from? Is his father a Navi? Then now he's also going to be a Navi? Yeah, if his father's a Navi, if Kish was a Navi, then maybe, you know, maybe he would be a Navi. Okay, I understand that. But Kish is not a Navi, right? Kish is not a Navi. So if Kish is not a Navi, so where does Shaul come to Nevuah? Right, that's what the Metzudas David understands. Says the Malbim, you need two things to be a Navi. You need two things. Number one, you need natural spiritual tendencies. To be a Navi, you have to have certain natural tendencies of spirituality and ruchnius. That's Aleph. Beis, you have to choose a certain lifestyle of dedication to Hashem and spirituality and Nevuah. You have to choose a certain lifestyle. Says the Malbim, people were surprised by both here. Because number one, Shaul didn't seem to have the natural tendencies. And that's the focus on his father, Mazeh Hayel Aven Kish. Where does this come from? He doesn't seem to have the natural tendencies that might normally descend from his father. Number two, he doesn't seem to have chosen this lifestyle. We don't find that Shaul was training with the Nevi'im, right? We talked about the B'nai HaNevi'im. There were Navi schools, right? Shmuel trained as a Navi. There were places where you would go to train as a Navi. Shaul didn't go to, he didn't enroll in one of these yeshivas to train as a Navi. So he doesn't have the natural tendencies. He doesn't have the chosen lifestyle where he's chosen to dedicate himself to Nevuah. So where does this come to? Where does he come to Nevuah? Where does this come from? So everybody's incredulous that Shaul is now a Navi. Now we know that the reason why he's now a Navi is a nace, really, right? You're right, he doesn't have any of these things. But it's because he's going to be the Melech. It's because he has this Lev Acher, right? This Ruach Elokim that descended upon him and enveloped him, and that's what changed him to a new person. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayan Ish Misham Vayomer. So there was one person there who responded to the group. Again, right, the previous pasuk said, Vayomer Ha'am Ishal Re'ehu. Everybody's talking amongst themselves. You know, what happened to Shaul? What happened to Ben Kish? So one person, doesn't say who it is, doesn't really matter, it sounds like. Vayan Ish Misham, one person from there says, he responds to the group, Vayomer Umi Avihem. He says, you're focusing on Ben Kish, you're focusing on Shaul's father, right? The Shaul doesn't have the tendencies from his father. Who are the fathers of all these other Nevi'im? Right? There was a whole Chevel Nevi'im, a whole group of Nevi'im that came and met Shaul, and they were all prophesying together. Who are their dads? Who are their fathers? Says Rashi, what are you wondering about his father for? Right? Nevuah doesn't come through Yerusha.
Right, doesn't matter.
Nevuah is not a Yerusha. So even if the father's not a Navi. Now, some Nevi'im, we know their fathers were Nevi'im. Right? In the beginning of Sefer Yonah, so it refers to Yonah as Yonah ben Amittai. So the Mefarshim there talk about the fact that when a Navi is mentioned as the son of a father, so that means that the child was a Navi and the father was also a Navi. So there were situations where you had Nevi'im that were ben achar ben, so to speak, right? The father and the son were both Nevi'im. But that wasn't necessarily the case. Not every Navi had a father who was a Navi. So in this case, this wasn't true. Al-Kain, Haisa L'mashal. So it's interesting. The pasuk says that this became a refrain. This became an expression. Hagam Shaul Banavim. This is what people would say. Right? This is what people would say. The Radak says that whenever there would be someone rise to a position of power that people didn't think he was fit for, what would they say? Hagam Shaul Banavim. You know, it became an expression. Like today, you know, we might say, Hashomer Achi Anochi, you know, people, you know, am I my brother's keeper? You know, you ask about someone, am I my brother's keeper? People, you know, we borrow expressions. This became an expression that people used to say, Hagam Shaul Banavim, right? This guy, he became the president of the country, the president of the shul. This guy was elected to be the rabbi. Hagam Shaul Banavim, that's what people would say. So the Radak says that Umi Avihem here is focusing on not the fathers of the Nevi'im, but it's focusing on Avihem Shabashamayim. Umi Avihem. Who's the one who gives these people the power of Nevuah? Avinu Shabashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just like Hashem gave them the ability to be a Navi, Hashem can give Shaul the ability to be a Navi. So why are you so incredulous? Why are you so dumbfounded? The Malbim also points out that he says we have to think about this in context. If you remember back from the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, we pointed out that generation of Shmuel was very weak. It was a very weak generation. There were not really many Nevi'im, if any. Shmuel was the first one to really take back the mantle and become a Navi for Klal Yisrael in a powerful way. They hadn't seen that in a generation. So says the Malbim, Umi Avihem, who are their fathers, meaning that this generation is a weak generation. They're just like their fathers are not Nevi'im. These people are Nevi'im, are new Nevi'im, so to speak, part of the new generation. So again, Shaul can be the same, right? Nobody from the previous generation was such great Nevi'im. So Shaul can be a Navi, even without these people being Nevi'im. So says the Malbim that the first element of the natural tendencies that this Ish Misham is saying, you know, don't focus on that, don't worry about that, because anything is possible. But what was still strange for them was that Shaul didn't even prepare for this. At least the other Nevi'im prepared, At least they trained. They went to yeshivas. Shaul, he just popped onto the scene, boom, and he started becoming a Navi. It's very strange. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayechal mehis nabos, vayavo habama. So again, we're in Giva, okay? Shaul stops prophesying, the Nevuah stops, and he comes up to the Bama. He comes up to the Bama. The Bama, again, was, of course, the Mizbeach. The Mishkan is not functioning right now, so we have a Heter Bamos. So we're allowed to bring Karbonos and a Bama. And there was this Bama in Giva. And the Radak says, the Nevi'im found him outside of the Bama. When he finished the Nevuah, he came inside. He came inside. The Bama was indoors in a place, in a house, in a building. He came indoors. The Malbim points out that this was also the opposite of the other Nevi'im. The other Nevi'im had to prepare themselves for their Nevuah. So what would they do? First, they would bring Karbanos on the Bama. First, they would be involved in Avoda on the Bama. And then, when through their Avoda, they would get to a place where they were fit for Nevuah, and then they would get Nevuah. Shaul was the opposite. What's he doing? First, he gets Nevuah. Again, we see with no preparation. Right? Shaul doesn't need this preparation. He just, boom, he gets Nevuah. And then after the Nevuah, he goes in Vayavo Abama, then he goes to do the Avoda. So it's the exact opposite of the other Nevi'im. Shaul is not a classic Navi. This is, again, because this is supernatural. He just got these powers. He just became a Navi, out of the blue.
So wouldn't the other Nevi'im who we bumped into, wouldn't they know that he was becoming a king?
So, not every Navi knows exactly what's going on in every situation. Just because you're a Navi doesn't mean you know everything, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu still has to give them the message. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had not given them the message. I don't think they knew that he was going to be the king, right? They may have noticed that something was a little strange. You know, he seems to be doing things in a different way than everybody else, but I don't think they knew that. Okay, now, Pasuk says something interesting there. All of a sudden, we have Shaul's uncle. Vayomer dod Shaul elav ve'el naro. The uncle of Shaul then turns to him, Shaul and his nar, and he asks them the following. Now, where did the uncle come from? Right. So the Radak says that maybe the uncle was there. You know, maybe he was in Giva in this Bama. He was in the house where the building where the Bama was, and that's what the Mitzudas David says also. He was there, and he bumps into him. He says, "Oh, Shaul, you know, good to see you. You know, where are you coming from?" The Nair is still here, right? Before, right? We haven't talked about him in a while, but the Nair is still here, right? Yeah. Now the Radak says another possibility is that maybe the Psukim are skipping here, and maybe these Psukim are after Shaul already goes back home and he sees his uncle back at his house, and his uncle says, you know, where were you? So either one. So either he bumps into him at the Bama, or he sees him at home. Sorry. No. His father sent him.
Yeah.
Why the uncle's coming in here? I'm not sure. Yeah. So says the Malbim. The uncle also. His uncle knew him, and his uncle knew that something's up here, right? Where did Shaul all of a sudden get this Nevuah from? He knew Shaul wasn't a Navi, right? So he realized his Nevuah had to be from somewhere. So what does he ask him? He asks him, "On halachta, where'd you come from? Right, where did you go?" Vayomer. So Shaul responds, "Levakesh asonos. We went to look for the donkeys. Vanira ki ayin. We saw that we couldn't find them. We looked and we didn't find the donkeys. Vanovo el Shmuel. So we came to Shmuel to seek his advice." So says the Malbim, the uncle knew something's up here. Right? Shaul's all of a sudden, he has this Nevuah, seems to be out of the blue. He just came from somewhere. Maybe he went to Shmuel. Right? The uncle has this like suspicion that maybe he went to Shmuel. And Taka, that's what Shaul tells his uncle. Yeah, you know, we went to Shmuel. Vayomer dod Shaul. So now the uncle wants to dig a little bit, and he says to him, "Hagidon alima amar lachem Shmuel." So what did Shmuel tell you? You know, again, he's curious because he sees something's up here, something's going on. Shaul's acting different than he acted before. You know, what did Shmuel tell you? Vayomer Shaul el dodo. So Shaul responds to his uncle. Hageid higid lanu kinimtzu ha'asonos. He told us that the donkeys were found, right? Shmuel did say that at the end, right? Shmuel said that after he told them all about the malucha, then at the end he told them, "Don't worry, the donkeys have been found. Go home."
He said it at the beginning, I think.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Oh yeah, okay. Could be. I don't remember. Could be. V'yes devara melucha lo higid lo. Says the Navi, but he did not tell his uncle about the melucha. He did not tell his uncle about the melucha. Asher Omar Shmuel. Why didn't he tell his uncle about the nevuah? Why not? Right? Yeah, it's exciting. He was just informed that he was going to be the melech.
It wasn't official yet.
Okay. It wasn't official. So Rashi says it's because of tznius, modesty. That is modesty, humility, modesty. He didn't want to. He didn't want to flaunt it. He didn't want to talk about it.
Okay, good.
So Rashi says that he didn't tell the uncle because of tznius, right? So you see, first of all, you know, people think that tznius is in dress only. You know, tznius is only how you dress. But you see here, it's nothing to do with dress, right? This was tznius of how he was conducting himself and what he was revealing, what he was telling people. So he didn't want to tell his uncle. Humility, tznius.
Maybe he didn't believe it. He was too incredulous.
Maybe Shaul didn't believe it. The only problem...
It didn't sink in yet.
The only problem is that Shmuel did give Shaul these three signs. And, you know, and he said, when these three signs come true, you'll know that that what I'm telling you about the Malucha is also true. And the Mefarshim say, you know, as we saw in the Pesukim, all the signs came true. Now that's a pretty strange thing, right? If you go to the Navi, and all of a sudden the Navi tells you these signs, and you go through and everything happens exactly the way he says it. So, I mean, you're right. I think he probably believed it, but maybe you're right. Maybe it didn't sink in yet. I don't know. I feel like I would probably tell my uncle. I don't know. You know, it's exciting. Okay. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayitzak Shmuel es ha'om el Hashem ha'mitzpah. Okay. Vayatzek Shmuel es ha'om. So we've seen this before, that this language of tzo'ak, obviously tzo'ak means to shout or to scream or to yell, but vayatzek can also mean and he gathered. We've had this before. The Mefarshim say that how do you gather a group of people? You yell, right? You shout in order to gather this large group of people. So Shmuel gets on the megaphone and he gathers the nation to mitzvah. Mitzvah also, you'll remember, we've discussed as many times, mitzvah was a place of tefillah. It was a makom tefillah. There was a mizbeach there. It was a place where they brought korbanos and they davened. So this was a holy place. So Shmuel gathers everyone to mitzvah. Okay, now what's he doing here? He's going to publicly select Shaul as the king. Okay? Now the pasuk says, interestingly, that it's El Hashem. Vayatzek Shmuel es ha'om El Hashem ha'mitzvah. What do you mean El Hashem? Hashem was in mitzvah more than he was in other places? So the Metzudas David says beautifully, anytime that you have the majority of a tzibur in one place, the Shechina is there. That's El Hashem. Without the people there, there was no special Hashras HaShechina and Mitzvah. It was a Makom Tefillah, but there was no special Hashras HaShechina and Mitzvah. But once the people come, Rov Tzibur, he says, you have Hashras HaShechina.
To a degree.
But this was sounds like it was more. El Hashem, it was more Ashras Hashchina, whatever that means. But a greater concentration of Ashras Hashchina in that place. Now, I don't know exactly. I was thinking, how do you judge the majority? Is this the majority of Klal Yisrael? I mean, did Shmuel gather the majority of the Jewish people in mitzvah? That's a lot of people. Right? Is that what we're talking about? I don't know. I'm not sure. So I'm not sure about that. But it sounds like it was a lot of people. Right, Shmuel again was the Navi. He gathers everyone. This is a momentous occasion. Now, he's going to select the king. Now, the selection of the king is done by Hashem. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who selects the Jewish king. Now, the Malbim asks, why is that? Why don't we have an election? Right. Speaking of elections, a lot in this parak about elections. So says the Malbim, why don't we elect a king? Right. Have the people vote and then elect a king. So he says, for three reasons, you can't do that. Number one, fighting. Not everyone's going to want to be the king, you know. And the election's not going to go so well, as we see from elections around the world, right? Not all elections are so smooth. So Yirtzeh Hashem, this one here in this country will be smooth tomorrow, but it's not always so smooth. People fight. So the Malbim says that's number one. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu selects the king, nobody can fight. What are you fighting about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected him. That's number one. Number two, and this is so important, a Jewish king is not like other leaders. A Jewish king has to have, says the Malbim, number one, he has to be free of arrogance. He cannot be arrogant, number one. Number two, he can't be lustful. And number three, all evil traits. Those two are also evil traits. But he says, you know, he singles those out, the Malbim singles. Arrogance and lust and all other evil traits cannot be present in the Jewish king. Cannot be present in the Jewish king. Who knows that a candidate doesn't have those things deep within him? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Leiv Malachim, right? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's truly in the heart. So to testify that a certain person has no arrogance, is not lustful, doesn't have bad midos, who's the one who could really testify to that? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why he's got to choose.
That could be shot in the leiv that we just spoke about.
The leiv achir. Leiv achir. Very nice. Very nice. I like that. Leiv achir, right. Very nice. But you see also, again, just to emphasize, that you see how, on what high level Shaul was. Right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected Shaul as the king, that means that he was on this very high madrega. He was not, no arrogance, no lust, no bad midos. He was a chush of a person. And again, sometimes Shaul gets a bad rap because it doesn't end well. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the melucha away from him. So we kind of like, that's how he's stuck in our minds as a king who did something wrong and had the melucha ripped away from him, which is a negative, it's a sad reputation, so to speak, or legacy that Shaul has left. But Shaul was a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik of a person. He was a special person. And then finally, says the Malbim, that if he's selected by the people, he's going to feel indebted to those people that elected him. And he's going to show them special favors after the election. Right? As we know, in contemporary elections, right? If there was a large group of people that were very instrumental in getting a person elected, he's going to show them favors. He's going to do things for them. Right? Says the Malbim, that can't be a Jewish king. A Jewish king cannot be showing favoritism to anybody because he's indebted to them. A Jewish king has to do what's right, what the Ribono Shel Olam wants, regardless of what people think. Right? So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to select for those three reasons. Number one, no fighting. Number two, because he has to be a real tzaddik. And number three, he can't owe anything to anyone. He can't owe anything to anyone. Pasuk Yudches. Now this is Shmuel's first message to the people as he gathers them in mitzvah. A little bit harsh. Vayomer el b'nei Yisrael. So Shmuel turns to b'nei Yisrael. I'm sorry, this is Shmuel. Shmuel's talking to b'nei Yisrael. And he says, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is what Hashem has said. Anochi ha'elesi es Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. I took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Vo'atzil eschem miyad Mitzrayim. And I saved you from Mitzrayim. U'miyad kol ha'mamlochos halochtzim eschem. And from all of the other kingdoms and nations that were oppressing you. So the Radak says, that this is what Hashem said to you way back when you first asked for a king. This is what Hashem said. If you remember, back when Klal Yisrael did ask Shmuel for a king, this was there. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did respond in this way. But says the Malbim that Shmuel is giving them a little mussar here. And he's telling them, listen, Chevra, we're about to select a king. Just keep in mind, I'm not doing this because I want to do it, says Shmuel. Right? I'm not doing this because you need a king. I'm doing this only because you asked for it, right? And as we know, there was a little bit of a negative element to this request, right? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I saved you from Mitzrayim, I saved you from all the other evil kingdoms that tried to oppress you since then. I'm going to continue to save you, says Hashem. You don't need a king. You don't need a king to come save you. I'm still going to be there for you. But nevertheless, you want one. Pasuk Yutes, Ve'atem hayom me'astem es elokeichem. Ashehu moshia lachem. Mikol ra'oseichem etzara oseichem. But now, says Shmuel, in the name of Hashem, you despise Hashem. Right? Hashem who saves you from all of the evil and all of the tzaros. The Malbim says that the ra'oseichem refers to the natural tzaros that a nation or a person experiences, and tzaroseichem are the enemies that come upon the person. Batomru lo ki melech tasim aleinu. And they said to him, we want a king. They said to Shmuel, we want a king. V'ata hisyatzu lifnei Hashem lishivteichem ula'alfeichem. Okay? Now the Radak says, some understand the Vatomru lo, it's written in the Navi with a Vav. Vatomru lo, and they said to him. But some understand it as if it's written with an Aleph. Vatomru lo. And they said to him, they said to Shmuel, no, we will not be redeemed until you appoint a king over us. Meaning there's an element here of throwing off the Malchus Shamayim, throwing off the old Malchus Shamayim here. They're focusing on a king and what a king can do to them. So what does Shmuel say to them at the end? V'yata, and now? Hisyatzvu lifnei Hashem l'shivteichem ula'alfeichem. Now we're going to select the king. Right? Again, not because I want it, not because it's good for you, only because you want it. And he's reminding them, this didn't come from a good place. This came from a place of trying to throw off the yoke of Hashem's Malchus. Okay? Now, what's Hisyatzvu lifnei Hashem l'shivteichem ula'alfeichem? So says the Radak, the Lifnei Hashem here is the Urim V'tumim. The Urim V'tumim. Right? They're going to make the selection. Now they're going to do a lottery to select the king. And it's going to be through the Urim V'tumim. Why? Again, so nobody can question it. Because if the Urim V'tumim confirms who the king is going to be, nobody from Klal Yisrael can second guess that. Nobody can question it. The Radak says maybe even the Aron was also there. Right, Shmuel's doing this with the backup. You know, he knows that people are going to gripe, people are going to complain and kvetch about this. So he wants it to be clear. This is God given. God selected this king.
So is this the 7 days later that we're doing this
now? No, this is before that.
This is before that?
Yeah. Yeah. That story with Gilgal is not happening yet. Uh-huh. I think it's going to be in the next parak when after Shaul is already confirmed as the king.
Yeah. Still before the 7 days.
Yeah. Okay? So now every Shevet comes. And also la'alfeichem, into the thousands. It says in Mitzvot Asavah, that means the families. So everyone's there. Pasuk Chaf. Vayakrev Shmuel es kol shivtei Yisrael vayilocheid shevet binyamin. So the Mitzvot Asavah, it said all the names of the Shvatim were put into a box before the Urim V'tumim was there. Okay? And, you know, somebody stuck their hand in the box, I don't know exactly who it was, takes out one of the names. Which one came up? Binyamin. And apparently somehow the Urim V'tumim confirmed that selection. Maybe it lit up, you know, that to confirm it. But it was clear from the Urim V'tumim that this selection was correct. So they know now that who's the Melech from? Shevet Binyamin. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayakrev Shevet Binyamin l'mishpachosav. So then they bring all of the different families from Shevet Binyamin. They write them their names on a little kvittel, put it in the box. Vatiloche mishpachas hamitri. And the name, the family of Mitri, which was Shaul's family, that comes up in the Goro. And then again, they put all the individuals from that family into the box. Vayilochid Shaul ben Kish, and Shaul ben Kish's name comes up. Vayivakshuhu v'lo nimtza. So they say, Shaul ben Kish, you're the new Melech. Imagine. They look around. Nalem, he's not there. Shaul's not here. Vayishalu od ba'ashem, hava od halom ish. So it's a question to Mefarshim exactly what this means. But they looked for him. Then they asked the Urim V'tumim again. Is there anyone else there that they didn't know that you know that they didn't know about? Vayomer Hashem, hinehu nechba el hakelim. And the message came from the Urim V'tumim that he's hiding in the kelim. He's hiding by the kelim. What are the kelim? So Mefarshim say basically it was the coat room. Right? This was the place where all the people, you know, left their stuff. When they came to mitzvah, there was a big coat room. Everybody left their belongings. And Shmuel was hiding in there. Shaul was hiding in there. Again, why? Says Rashi, because of his humility. So we see his humility. Number one, he didn't want to tell his uncle about the melucha. Number two, now even when he's selected, he's hiding. Right? He's embarrassed. Now the Rashi quotes a Medrash, other Mefarshim also, that say Shaul even questioned the selection. Right? He was so humble that he didn't think he was ready to be the king, and he questioned the selection. He said, maybe there's something wrong. Ask the Urim V'Tumim again. I can't really be me. Well, yeah, I mean, he was already anointed, right? Shmuel already anointed him, but he had to do a Goral because otherwise people would think it was a fix, right? But still, even now, he didn't think he was fit. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Okay, well, just the last few psukim, and then we'll try to finish the parak. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayarutzu vayikachu misham. So they run and they go get him from the coat room. Vayisyatze v'socham. They bring him in. And he's head and shoulders taller than everyone in the room, right? He's physically bigger. He's physically bigger. Everyone was in awe of him. Says Shmuel to everyone, look, you see who Hashem selected as your king? Ki ein kamohu b'chol ha'am. There's no one else like him in this nation. So you see again, right? Shaul with the bad rap. He was the biggest tzaddik in Klal Yisrael. He was the most righteous person. Ein kamo b'chol ha'am, says Shmuel Anavi. Can you imagine Shmuel Anavi testifying about someone like that? Ein kamo b'chol ha'am. Vayariu kol ha'am, vayomru yichi ha'melech. So what do? They blow the shofar. They say yichi ha'melech. The Radak says doesn't mean just long live the king, but it means also he should be matzliach. Right? People were in awe of him. He should be matzliach. Pasuk chaf hei. Vayidaber Shmuel el ha'am es mishpat ha'melucha. So Shmuel tells them all about the melucha. The Mefarshim say these are the halachos of the melech that it says in the Torah. You have a mitzvah to fear the king, the prohibition of disobeying the king, all these halachos. Vayichtov ba'sefer, they wrote down all the halachos in the special sefer, mishpat ha'melucha. Vayanach lifnei Hashem, and they put it. The Radak says in the Aron, the Metzudas David said they placed it before the Aron. Vayishalach Shmuel es kol ha'am ish leveso. And Shmuel says, okay, everybody go home. You have your new king. Everybody go home. Pasuk Chavav. Vigam Shaul holach leveso. So Shaul also went home. Givasa, back to Giva. Vayel chimo hachayil asher naga elokim belibam. And he went with a group of people that Rashi quotes Targum Yonos on, that these were people who had Yiras Hashem. Very frum people. And they had Yiras Hashem. They recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was selected this person, and they said, we're going to go with him, right? He's our new king, we're going to go with him. Now the Radak says that Shaul looked around and he sees that not everyone is coming over to him. Who's coming over to him? Only the Yirei Elokim, only the frum people, only the righteous people. What are all the other people doing? They weren't so into this. They didn't really like this. They didn't like the selection of. He wasn't universally accepted yet. So says the Radak, he didn't start acting like the king yet because he sees he's not being universally accepted. In order to be the king, you can't just be selected by Hashem. You have to be accepted by the people also. The people didn't accept him yet as a whole. Half of them, more than half of them, turned their back and went home. They didn't even look at him. Right? They weren't very happy. Yeah, the Yirei Hashem, the frum people, they were thrilled. They were overjoyed. But the no goodniks, the masses of people who were in this, as the Malbim says, because remember when they first requested a king, they wanted to throw off the old Malchus Shemayim. Right? They didn't want a king that was so frum. They wanted a king who was going to be able to change things, to throw off the Malchus Shemayim, to start acting like the other nations of the world. That's what they wanted. They see that's not what they're getting. They're getting a frum king. That's not what they want. So these Bnei Belial Amru, Hayoshienu Zeh. This guy's not going to help us. This guy's not going to save us. Vayivzuhu. They disgraced him. They said, we don't want him for a king. We don't want him as our king. Velohaviu lo mincha. They didn't bring him any offerings. The minhag at that time, new king, you bring him a mincha, you bring him an offering to show that you accept him. Vayikamachrish. So Shaul accepts it. He's quiet. Again, out of his humility. He accepts it quietly. He pretends he doesn't hear what's going on. He doesn't see. He doesn't respond. He's quiet and he goes his own way. He goes home. So we see that the Perek ends almost like with on this downturn. right? There's down to it. You know, I have all this buildup of Shaul being the king, and at the end, yeah, he's not really accepted. Yeah, a small group of frum people, you know, connect with him, and they say, okay, he's going to be our king. They're excited. And everybody else, all the masses, they're not into him. They're not excited, right? Not only that, they're disgracing him, right? They're making fun of him. They're mocking him. Ah, we don't want this fellow. So we'll see, Amir Tashem, what happens next week in Perek Yud Aleph. Eventually, as we know, Shaul does get the acceptance of the people and he does become the king. But for right now, it seems to be a rocky road. Okay, we'll pick up Amir Tashem next week. Perek Yud Aleph.